This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
Our goal at Everyday Tech is to keep your technology not only working, but working for you. I'm the host, Abram Nanny, and you can join me and my friends Wednesday mornings at 10 on MPB Think Radio, or search Everyday Tech on your favorite podcasting app, or download the MPB Public Media app.
Welcome to AutoCorrect, helping you correct your auto problems. Our host is Coach Charlie Melton, ASC Certified Master Technician. I'm Jermaine Flood, and also in the building with us is special guest mechanic Pete Tyer. Hello, Coach Charlie. Hey, Pete.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing good today. How's everything going with y'all?
It is great.
Well, good stuff. Pete is back in the building. Pete, I am glad to have your expertise on the show this morning because I have no clue of what I'm talking about.
Sometimes I don't either.
Well, we will try to clue you in.
Right. Well, come on and clue me in, because today we're talking about GDI gasoline direct injection. Our email address for questions is auto@mpbonline.org. Okay, I clued myself in just a little bit this morning. So gasoline direct injection, GDI, also known as petrol direct injection, is a mixture formation system for internal combustion engines that runs on gasoline where fuel is injected into the combustion chamber. That was a lot.
Well, that is a good answer, you know, because we had a show on this several months back, and we wanted to get into it a little bit more. And that's why I asked Pete to come on this week so we could talk about really where it started, where we're going to next, and some of the advantages, disadvantages, and how you can tell that you have GDI, and is it really worth what you're getting?
Okay. What are some of those? Like, let's just talk about the disadvantages and the advantages. What are a couple of those?
Well, first of all, Pete, I know that we have talked about this. Is that the valves? Okay.
In the up until GDI or injection, we had fuel that went past the valves, and it took the deposits that can kind of congeal there and washes them off.
Okay.
We don't have that with GDI. We don't have any fuel going past the valves to speak of. It goes directly into the cylinder. Mm. So on some vehicles, you have to have the intake manifold pulled. And I think last I heard, the best thing to use was nutshells, pecan shells.
I was
reading
about them using pecan shells and walnut shells.
And walnut shells. It's less damaging to the engine if some of it didn't get blown out.
Mm. Yeah, less abrasive to it, yes. Yeah. And so, you know, you talk about the carbon buildup is what he's talking about. So the carbon builds up on the valves. This is disadvantages. Once again, the carbon builds up on the valves would have to be more expensive to fix them. Mm. And plus, you're going to really on top end, you're not going to get as much power, and it's not going to be as efficient on top end as it is low end.
Okay. So some advantages and disadvantages just to start out, but we're going to get to more of this. We're going to talk about how GDI is close to a hybrid is right. What you were saying. We're going to get into a little bit more of that. But before we do, let's go to the phone lines. We've got Christy on the line calling us from Clinton. She said her car felt heavy as she was driving it, a 2018 Buick. Christy, you are on with Coach Charlie.
First of all, I want to say thank you so much for making automotive information so accessible to Mississippians. So yesterday around lunchtime, I went out to grab some lunch, and my car felt heavy. That's the best way I can describe it. When I put my foot on the gas, I had to pedal to the floor, and it didn't exceed 25 to 30 miles per hour. And also, when I put my foot off the gas, usually you don't have the car coast. It was immediately decelerating.
Was the check engine light on?
No lights were on. It's a 2018 Buick Encore.
Okay, about feeling heavy. So what we're talking about is that it was harder to put on the throttle or to accelerate or what?
Yeah, to accelerate.
Okay, so it was harder to accelerate. So that means that there could have been the cable there. I was probably don't have a cable on. It's probably all electronic on that one anyway. But maybe there was a hesitation in that switch, because once again, that switch goes to the ECM, and the ECM understands how much throttle opening is. So once again, that could be something wrong with that accelerator pedal right there inside where you're putting your foot on.
Yeah,
Okay. Could have a restricted exhaust.
Could have a restricted catalytic converter. Could be stopped up. But usually, like Pete said, there should be a check engine light on. What I would do, maybe that check engine light is not working. What I would do is try to get somebody to put a scan tool on it just to make sure that that check engine light is coming on, and then see what kind of codes. Because anytime it has anything to do with engine performance or anything like that, if it's not mechanical, that check engine light will come on. And so a scan tool can pick that up, even if it's a history code.
Okay. And it's probably worth mentioning that I pulled over, I put the car in park, and I put the back gate drive, and I have my hazard issues fixed.
She pulled over and put the car back in drive, and she hadn't had the issue since.
Well, like I say, once again, I'd put it on a scan tool, and that could even be transmission as well. You know, so what I would do is just see I can get on a scan tool. And if you haven't had any more problems with it, the main thing, get it checked out so you don't have a problem. Because it does really sound like it could be that accelerator or that transmission.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Christy, thank you so much for your phone call. I'm glad we could kind of hopefully help a little bit.
Well, sometimes it's hard on, according, if that check engine light's not on, a lot of times you need to take it to the shop, have them look at it.
Okay.
If it goes into limp in mode, it's usually flashing.
Okay.
Anytime the check engine light is flashing, you do not need to drive the vehicle.
Okay.
Or at minimum.
Okay.
I mean, just get it somewhere. That means
severe damage.
Catalyst damaging.
The flashing check engine light is severe damage.
Class A flashing.
Okay. Light, yeah. If you see a solid, you're okay somewhat.
According to what code it's in that computer, yes.
Okay. Look, I got another email. Well, I've got a question through an email, and this may go into a little bit of GDI talk, but this is coming from T. Coleman. He says he has a 1994 Dodge Dakota 3.9. Fuel issue, he had to change the fuel pump. Vehicle will run for a while and then stop. After it's warmed up, it will stay running. Then after sitting for a day or two, same thing, and will turn over but not crank until pressing on the gas pedal, and then it'll start. But then the engine light comes on, and he believes it does because of too much fuel. He said it will turn off, will turn it off, wait a few minutes, and then it will crank right up and no engine light on. Also put gas treatment in it. He says next may have to put some seafood in it also. I don't know what that is.
Seafoam.
Oh, seafoam.
That's a cleaner. That's a cleaner.
It says seafood. And crab, I mean, shrimp, whatever.
Put,
get it.
Put that, a lobster in
that
there.
That iodine.
If you live on the coast, it's a good thing. It's easier to get.
That's right.
He says, any idea what his issue might be? Thank you, Coach.
Well, you think about, first of all, I think they're a wise tale today. You press on the accelerator when you're cranking a vehicle up today, it does no good whatsoever. I said it used to. When you had a carburetor and all, you would press on the accelerator and you would get it cranked up and engage the choke and all. But today, no, all that is right now is when you press on the accelerator, it's opening the throttle, but the computer's reading and telling how much fuel it needs.
Yeah.
Okay. But that 3.9, I'm not sure if that's a GDI, but if it was a GDI, we would tell you that another disadvantage of GDI is that it clogs up the fuel system. Okay. It clogs up the fuel system. But how he's saying is that his fuel system, that he cranks it up, presses the accelerator, it runs, but then the check engine light comes on and then it dies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On that, a lot of times that would go back to your catalytic converter as they're cranking it up and dying because it can't get the pressure out. But you would smell the fuel if it's too much. And if it was running real rich, you would smell that fuel coming up through there. But if that check engine light, and I'm sure that check engine light is on that vehicle, he needs to have that scan tool put on there for sure.
Okay. And then AKA seafood, seafoam, is he okay for using that?
Well, that is a cleaner. That's a fuel additive. That is a cleaner.
Okay.
And that's fine. And you can get that at any auto parts store. And it's called seafoam.
Okay. So I want to go back to what you were saying before. So there's no more, you know, pump the gas to get it to go.
No more pumping the gas.
Oh, I missed that. And I thought about that when I had my push button start. And I was like, how does this work when you want to do that thing?
And you
know? You
don't do that thing no more. Now, a lot of the old timers will still get in there and pump that gas. They try to crank that thing up, and it ain't helping.
It ain't doing nothing.
Well, it's not putting no fuel in there.
Okay.
The fuel don't start going until the vehicle is turning and cranked and ready to roll.
Okay.
That's when the fuel starts going down into the engine.
Okay. Well, I miss that yeah. thing. That thing where you push your, well, you know, put your foot on the gas and you turn, you crank. You crank at the same time.
What kind of fuel system we could do that with, Mr. Pete?
Some fuel systems set the zero on their throttle position with the key on. So if you have your foot on it, it will confuse the computer.
Right.
Sometimes you have to turn it off, take your foot off of it, and restart it.
Oh, okay.
Because the computer's trying to see if the throttle is wide open or where that throttle is set at.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
General rule of thumb, 0.4 to 0.8 volts, and they're working on 5 volts, most of them. And wide open throttle being 4.8 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have it, if it re-zeros and you got your foot on it, instead of reading 2 volts, it'll set that as zero. So it changes everything.
Okay.
You know, you think the type of vehicle that you could use when you push that accelerator, those were carburetors.
Okay.
Well, that fuel was going in there.
It was getting up in there.
And you could smell it.
Yeah, you can push it in there. Well, we're talking about GDI. If you've got a question, send your emails to auto@mpbonline.org. Is your car under recall? I'll tell you how you can find out. You're listening to AutoCorrect with Coach Charlie Melton. I'm Jermaine Flood. If you want even more AutoCorrect, find our podcast on all podcast platforms for your smart device. AutoCorrect is heard on MPB Think Radio Thursdays at 10 a.m. with a replay Saturdays at 11 a.m. Coach, I know you came in with recalls. You hear recalls every day, so I'm going to hit you up right after I read these. But
that's great.
Here are some recent recalls. 381,000 Toyota Tacomas have been recalled for defective rear axle. This includes model year 2022 to 23, and the trouble concerns residual welding debris from manufacturing on the ends of the rear axle assembly that can loosen retaining nuts over time to the point of separation, and this could cause a part to separate from the axle, which affects vehicle stability and brake performance, increasing the risk of a crash. As a fix, dealers are inspecting that axle assembly and tightening the retaining nuts, and damaged parts of the rear axle will also be repaired or replaced as necessary, and both of those repairs will be done for free. Owners will be notified in late April, but those with further questions can contact the automaker. Second up is Chevrolet and GMC parent automaker GM's latest recall, and this, I may have to just throw you in on this one, affects more than 55,700 of the respective brands Colorado and Canyon pickup trucks. The issue involves the truck's front camera module system, which may falsely identify objects or obstacles. The affected vehicles include model year 23 Colorados and Canyons. This module system may unnecessarily prompt the automatic emergency braking system over falsely detected obstacles. And such braking can cause the vehicle to slow down or stop without notice, increasing the risk of a crash. To resolve the issue, dealers are updating the front camera module software for free, and they will notify owners April 8th. And then, Coach, what was the one that you were saying about GM?
Well, you know, I'm a commercial buff. And I remember this commercial that GM walked around and all these people were carrying tailgates with them because GM was coming out with that new 6-step tailgate.
Okay.
Well, this is about the tailgate. 820,000 trucks are going to be recalled because of that tailgate.
820,000 of the six point. Is that what you're saying?
It's their tailgate.
Okay.
So yeah. What happened? They drive down the road and the tailgate can open.
Yeah.
Okay. What happens is that the camera is not really weather protected.
Okay.
And so what happens, the water gets in the control and the tailgate opens.
Oh, wow.
And so they're going to go in there and redo the control for the...
A million of them.
Yes, about a million of them.
Good.
And that just came out 2 days ago on national TV.
Time out. Before I do the last recall, how do they work through a million recalls?
They just get them in just like they do. They got to get the parts. They got to inspect them. And they'll just come in there and they'll have... And they always know that these recalls, before they put them out, they start trying to get the parts because they have to be replaced.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
They're not going to replace that tailgate. They're going to replace the switch and the electrical module in it, and that's all, and they'll just go from there.
And then we need to stand out and say, hey, mechanics needed now when it comes down to 800,000 recall. See,
that will have to come from the dealer. They mechanics will not be able to, body shops or cannot repair those.
They got to go all the way back to the dealers.
Anytime you have a recall, it has to go back to the dealer.
Okay.
Now, there are some recalls. If you get it fixed, just say that it's been years and then they come out with a recall and you've already had it fixed by your local technician.
Yeah.
If you had that receipt, you can get reimbursed for
it. Okay. Okay. Coach always knows the back doors.
But you got to have the receipt.
Yeah, keep your receipts.
That's right.
And finally, in recall news, Hyundai is recalling more than 186,000 of its Elantra sedan. The issue involves a component that we all hope to never need, the emergency trunk latch. The affected vehicles include model year 2015 to 2016 Elantra sedans, and that emergency trunk latch in these vehicles may become damaged in high temperatures and require extra force to actuate the trunk release from within, increasing the risk of injury. Dealers are resolving this issue by replacing the trunk latch base subassembly at no charge. Hyundai will notify owners April 15th, but those with further questions can contact the automaker. And you can find out if your car has a past recall by going to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration's website, nhtsa.gov/recalls, and inputting your VIN or find their Safer Car app. We're talking about GDI. That's gasoline direct injection. We're also taking your vehicle repair questions, whatever you got. Our email address is auto@mpbonline.org. Let's get back into more GDI talk. I wanted to tap on how GDI is close to a hybrid.
Well, you know, first of all, Pete, we have thrown out a big word, GDI, and those are just three initials. But GDI, what is GDI? You know, it started from diesels, and tell us a little bit about that, and then we'll talk about how it's closer to a hybrid.
Diesels have been using direct injection for years, and it atomizes the fuel better. The fuel goes in. It has to be the right mix of air, technically oxygen, and fuel to get the right mixture and the right result. They started this for power, but mainly for emissions.
So when we started for power, what he's saying here is that a GDI is close, even though it's just a fully ICE vehicle, but it gets the same mileage as a hybrid, a lot of them. Mm. And because the reason why it gets the same mileage as a hybrid is, first of all, like Pete said, is that they itemize the fuel. They're using less fuel, more air to get more power.
And from what Pete said, it sounds like diesels are the perfect host.
Diesels are the perfect host because the reason why is because of the higher compression. GDI requires a lot of compression.
Okay.
And so what happens, you got 2,500 pounds of, or PSI, of pressure on that fuel. Where most fuel pumps or most fuel, what?
Well, carbureted was 2.5 to 4.5 pounds generally. Mm-hmm. Then you get into early fuel injection was 9 to 12. Then it was 3 bars, which is 38-ish.
Okay.
And then you get into 4 bar, which is 4 times atmospheric pressure, which is around 48.
Well, 48 to 59.
59 to 60.
Okay.
And then you get up into, you got low pressure pumps to feed the high pressure pump. Mm-hmm. And the high pressure pump is 2,500, 2,800 on a diesel. Mm-hmm. We're talking some in the 20,000 pounds. This will cut you. This will harm you in a major way.
So this is not something that you would suggest an average everyday person just goes up and starts opening up lines. No. And, you know, because a lot of people do it yourself first. What they'll do, they'll say, well, I need to check this, see if I'm getting fuel up here, you know. No. Fuel pumps, and a lot of people, Pete, let me excuse you 1 second, that people don't know exactly what type of fuel systems they have, mm-hmm. and that they do have a low pressure and a high pressure pump, and they don't really know what to do in replacing these pumps and how to do it.
Scan tools are your best friend.
Okay.
That will help you find out what pressures you have and whether you need to work with it or not. The fuel lines now are hard lines. They're steel. Mm-hmm. Or a derivative thereof. And if you break the line loose, you replace the line. Okay. There is no reusing it.
Okay.
It makes it more cost, but It's squeezing the fuel tighter to give you better economy and better emissions.
And so, in this instance, your best friend, your second best friend, is a mechanic.
Right.
But
right.
yeah.
Well, really what they're trying to do, they're taking that fuel that we're going into the injector, they're putting that fuel in there, and they're using less fuel to make that engine run better.
Right.
Okay. And the thing, if you think about it, scan tools and electronics, everything on that GDI is computerized. Okay. It goes, the thing is, we were saying what about that throttle a while ago, is that as soon as you push on that pedal, it has a sensor on it. And that sensor is connected to the ECM. And that ECM says, hey, this is how far, or how, really don't say how far, it says this is how much voltage I'm getting from where you're pushing on that pedal. And then by that, it tells how much that throttle is open, supposed to be open, and then it determines how much fuel.
So that's how the fuel goes in.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
You request fuel by your right foot.
By that right, with that gas pedal.
Yeah. Yeah, like I was talking about trying to pump that car. But yeah.
So why would I not get a GDI and a hybrid? Why would I trade one for the other? If you think about it, a hybrid costs about $4,000 or $5,000 more than a regular gasoline or a GDI car.
Okay.
But you're going to get the same mileage. But then you got to think about maintenance down the road. For a GDI, maintenance costs you more.
A little more.
A little more, because you got to take off, like, say, the valves have to be cleaned. The fuel system has to be cleaned. Now, you can put additives in there. Okay, like the seafoam we were talking about, you put that in, that'll clean the system out. Now, you want to make sure anytime you have a system, if it's GDI or gasoline, that you maintain it. And you do can put different types of additives in there, but you want to make sure on a GDI, they really don't like ethanol.
Okay.
You know, the more ethanol you put in it, worse the system's going to run.
Okay.
They're designed for a certain amount.
Right.
Okay.
But you don't want to use E85.
Right.
Which is 85% methanol.
Okay.
Ethanol.
Ethanol. Okay. So, Coach, my Mazda CX-3, am I a GDI or not?
Well, let's talk about when you start talking. Mazda did have GDIs, and I do have GDIs today. The easiest way, me and Pete talked about this the other day, you can go to any parts store, if it's O'Reilly's, if it's Advance, and they do have a system, they do have a software. You can take them, they'll put your tag in there, and it'll tell you everything about your car.
Okay. And then you'll know more.
Then you'll know more about your vehicle, what type of engine it has, everything.
Okay.
Now, I will tell you, Ford has come out with something that I got a 2024 F-150 and has an app on there. It tells me everything about my vehicle. It tells me how many miles I've driven the vehicle. And I didn't put it in there, but it tells you everything about my vehicle regardless, you know. And so, once again, there's apps out there. You can find a lot of stuff out about your vehicle just for these apps.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Make sure y'all get into all of that. And we're going to get into more disadvantages and advantages of GDI, and also reducing turbo lag. I heard you talking a little bit about that. I've got a quick email. It says, I have a 95 4Runner. The bottom radiator hose came off and it ran for maybe 2 minutes before shutting down. No oil loss. Transmission still engages. I love this old ride. Any suggestions? Thank you. I really enjoy your program.
Well, you know, if it came off for 2 minutes and it didn't overheat, you probably don't have a problem. Okay, if it overheated, then you'll have a problem, because it sounded like he didn't have a problem, just ran it for a couple minutes, and then was able to good to go. What do you think, Pete?
Kind of iffy on that.
Okay.
Yeah. You can only check the temperature of the engine if the coolant is on the sensor. If it's below the sensor, you don't get an accurate reading. Mm. That's like if you take your temperature, normally if it's under your tongue, you get an accurate thing. If you're holding it above your head, you don't get a proper reading.
Right.
Same thing with a car.
Okay.
And most cars, the coolant goes from the thermostat to the top of the radiator. It goes through the radiator, through the bottom of the car, the hose, and back into the engine.
Right.
Almost of them.
Right. I want you to know, Coach, what I've noticed about Pete is he is no nonsense about these cars. Now, you'll play a little bit with me. I'll say something off and then you'll play. But Pete's like, listen, this is what it is.
He'll tell you.
And you can't fool around with nothing else.
That's right. That is right.
I love it, Pete. I love it.
You just hadn't pushed that button on me yet.
Right.
You done pushed it on me, see.
I used to know a mechanic, and he was kind of like Pete. And then whenever I'd do something to my car, he would be very upset. He would be really upset. Our email address where you can send questions is auto@mpbonline.org. We're talking about GDI, gasoline, direct injection. Between your car repair questions, what's in the news? Consumer Reports says not to buy these popular cars, offering alternatives you should buy instead. I'll tell you more. Thank you for listening to AutoCorrect on MPB Think Radio. Coach Charlie Melton, retired instructor from Clinton High School's Automotive Technology Program, is our expert host. I'm Jermaine Flood. In the news today, we have got some Consumer Reports saying not to buy these popular cars, offering alternatives that you should buy instead. We are not advocating for anybody to purchase anything or to sell anything or to even take any of these tips that I'm about to give you.
That's just the news.
This is just the news. And that was my spiel before I start reading. Okay, so this is for 2024, Coach. Okay, so here's some avoids. They've got some avoids. They have some buys, and then they have some alternatives. So in the first set, they want everybody to avoid the Chevrolet Trax. They say it's pretty darn inexpensive, and you'll get a good number of features for your money, but there's still plenty of downsides, including uneven power delivery and a cheap interior that can cause the Trax to come up short of earning the recommendation. Now, my mom actually drives a Trax.
She likes a Trax.
And when she saw it, she was like, I want that.
I want that Trax.
So they're saying to avoid that, but instead buy a Toyota Corolla hatchback. And they're saying, considering how small the Trax is and the fact that it's front wheel drive only, odds are you'll get everything you're looking for from the Toyota Corolla hatchback. It's a much better vehicle overall and should get better gas mileage as well. How do y'all feel about those two?
Well, I'm just saying, who put that survey out? You know, was it Toyota? Because he just gave a pitch for a Toyota, you know.
Over a Chevy?
That's right. You know, who was involved in the survey?
And they say, listen, if you don't want the Toyota over the Chevy Trax, the alternative is the Nissan Kicks.
Okay.
So they're saying if you want a subcompact crossover and can't make yourself go with the Corolla hatchback, then the alternative to the Trax is the Kicks. It's not quick or sporty, but you'll probably end up liking it better overall.
That's why they make ice cream in different flavors.
Right. Everybody has their opinion. You buy the car that fits you. Like you said, your mother has a Trax and she loves it.
Right.
Well, everybody may not love a Trax. But everybody not love a Toyota.
Right. Yeah. I wish I could buy a car like Neapolitan ice cream where you can get like three flavors in the same box.
Well, Nash made a Metropolitan years ago.
Well, you really can. You can get that, you know, because you got Toyota, you got Chevrolet. They're combined. They will go in and make a car.
Yeah.
You know, they have already, you know, made several of them, like the Metro Geo. That was a Toyota and a Chevrolet.
No, combined. That was a mix. That was a hybrid between the two, Metro Geo.
You know, they just put them together and say, use some parts here and some parts
all
there.
All right. What you got, Abe?
Well, would the Neapolitan be like those Jeeps with the bed in the back, the pickup truck in the back?
Kind of, but then it ain't a full Neo because those Jeeps don't get gas mileage like a hybrid or a...
Yeah, I'm sure. I could see you driving around in that, Jermaine.
I was thinking more of the...
I will.
I was thinking the more of the Thang. You remember the Thang?
What Thang?
Volkswagen
Thang.
They had a Volkswagen Thang? How did they spell it? It was a THA. A-N-G, Coach?
I-N-G.
I-N-G.
Oh, okay.
It was a thing. That's, but that's what it was called.
It was.
And that was a Neapolitan
car. That was a Neapolitan car.
Or you could think about a Gremlin. Go back to a Gremlin.
Or what
those,
was...
Those were cooler than...
Those were cooler than
what the was the car with the hatchback? What was that called back in the day? The one with the hatchback.
A lot of them had hatchbacks.
I mean, not the hatchback, the bed. The car with the bed.
Oh, well, you know, Ford came out one. You're talking about El Camino.
El Camino, yeah.
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 That was them.
Yeah.
Oh, I get to work on some of those every once in a while.
Do you? I know they probably are. I love the idea of them. I like the look of them, too. They're so smooth looking.
This Volkswagen thing looks insane.
You pulled it up, Abram? Yeah. It sounds like it would be insane.
It's convertible. It looks like a Jeep. It's got the shape of a bug. It's that's the Neapolitan right there.
Please keep that up because I want to see that.
Oh, I got
later.
You. I got you.
And then you had the Gremlin. You know, the Gremlin was like a Gremlin. You know, It was purple. Someone were purple.
Purple
gremlin. It was. And then what with the Pacer was nothing but glass.
Pacer was a lot of glass.
It was nothing but glass. And it looked like a big bug. You know,
sort of
like a big old round ladybug.
Well, to each his own. They've got a good few more of them. They're saying avoid the Volkswagen Jetta, buy the Mazda 3. Alternative to that would be the Hyundai Elantra Hybrid. They do have some avoids that I will be avoiding. Avoid the Mercedes-Benz C-Class. I'll never buy one of those. Or avoid the Mercedes-Benz CLA. I'll never buy one of those.
I think this is the Asian market that put the survey on. Because they're all Asian cars that tell you to buy.
Yeah, there's so many in here. But I'll have a link to this story in our show's podcast description so y'all can flip through the slideshow on that. We're talking about GDI, gasoline direct injection. Email your questions to auto@mpbonline.org. Let's get into some more GDI talk. More disadvantages and advantages.
If you think about advantages on the GDI, once again, we got the coolant system. We got the fuel cools the engine. So you can really get more high compression engines with GDI.
Compression makes more power.
Okay.
Makes it more efficient.
Okay.
GDI makes it possible to have more efficiency with the high compression.
Right.
And we don't have a choice. That's the way they come now.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Y'all told me on break, no choice in choosing GDI or not.
Well, you think about going from 8 to 10 miles a gallon to 20 miles a gallon to 40 miles a gallon to 48 miles a gallon. That's really where we are on some of our cars.
Yeah.
You know, and that's an internal combustion engine. Yeah. And that's with a GDI. Okay. And that's the reason why compression. And I was reading something this morning talking about, we always thought about our vehicles running at a certain air fuel mixture. Well, GDIs can go up to 65 part air to one part fuel. Mm-hmm. And that means that it's a very lean condition. And that means that it's burning very little fuel. And another thing you think about GDI and you think about how they control the fuel. They can control the burn on GDI vehicles with a computer. That means they can put a little fuel at the top when it first cranks up to get it started, and they just control that fuel as it goes down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where mm-hmm. we used to on injectors, we just spray the fuel in and let it burn.
Right.
Now they control the burn of the fuel.
Actually, we're kind of, as a country, we're late to the party. Europe has been dealing with this thing's smaller engines, more efficient
mm-hmm.
for years because the fuel is so expensive.
Yeah. 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 They do that over there for sure. We had that conversation on a past episode. So yeah, they are on top of that. Let's go to the phone lines though. Let's take a quick break. We've got Chris in Vicksburg on the line. He's got a newer engine on an older car. Chris, you're on with Coach Charlie and our guest, Pete Tyer.
Yes. I just want to ask you a question. I have a 68 Charger and, I want to go back with a newer, the new Gen 3 Hemi, either a 5.7 or 6.4 or whatever. I just want to know if y'all know of anything about those engines, about which one's better than the other, or and I don't know if they come with a GDI. I don't know.
It would depend on the year, and you know, there's a lot of variations in those, but they make a lot of power.
And I think one of the things you need to just look at. The wiring harness, make sure you get the correct wiring harness for the right engine and the right computer for that right engine. Since you're going to change all that out, you make sure you get that everything is compatible.
And remember,
I bought a kit through Holley that does
okay,
that.
That's good.
Right, good.
There's a lot of things that have to be changed to go to the newer style engine.
Okay.
A lot of things.
And just make sure that when you get the newer style engine, that you make sure you check that transmission, make sure they're compatible with the transmission. And so that means that you're going to need a wiring harness for that transmission as well. Just make sure that everything you do to that engine is compatible to what you already got there.
And keep everything, all information, wiring harness diagrams, everything with the car all the time.
Okay.
So
okay.
Somebody can work on it and then, you know, you just tell you got a 68 Charger and you got a 2023 engine, then we're looking for a lot of different things.
Yeah, that's that Neapolitan.
That's right.
Let's stay on the phone lines. We've got Charlene in Louisville. She has a 2019 Nissan Frontier, and she's wondering, is she hurting her car using cheap gas? Charlene, you're on with Coach Charlie and Pete Tyer.
Hey there, I need somebody's opinion on this.
Okay, well, we're going to have probably two different opinions on it. My opinion is, if the vehicle has high compression, and I don't know if that one really has high compression, don't sound like that for that type of car, but if it has high compression, most of the time you would use, just like a GDI, since a high compression engine, you would use the higher tier gas. And that means the higher octane gas and the one that has a lot of cleaning agents in that gas, okay, if it's a high compression engine. If it's a lower compression engine, you could use the regular engine or regular fuel. Now, I'm going to tell you, I had a Mercedes and it said put 91 octane in there. I never put a drop of 91 octane. My fuel never went down. I had it for 118,000 miles. Not one thing happened to the vehicle. Yeah. So what do you think about that, Pete?
Well, in your owner's manual, it will tell you the fuel that the car is designed to run with.
I love Pete.
The fuel's base fuel is largely all the same. The difference between low-end gas and high-end gas is the cleaning additives that they add into it.
Okay.
I've been to several seminars on gas blending because it affects my business in a big way.
That's right.
And, you know, people say, oh, you know, the same truck fills up the cheap gas as the expensive gas. Well, gasoline is a blend of 150 to 200 additives. Mm. If you have different additive packages coming out in the nozzle where it fills the truck up, you can have the same base fuel, and the additives make the difference in the fuel.
And when he's talking about additives, he's talking about what they put in the fuel, if it's cleaning agents, if it's suspension agents, different things. If it's cold start fuel, you know, we have winter fuel, we have summer fuel. So it's really according, really go to your owner's manual and decide if that's what you want to put in there. If that vehicle runs on it, that's what you should do.
All right. Charlene, did that help?
Yes. Can I ask another question?
Yeah, come on.
They're putting 5830 oil in the truck. Is that okay?
Is that what the manufacturer calls for? That's another thing you got to make sure.
Do I have to read my manual?
You should read your manual.
Yes, ma'am. You can go to that specific section. Also, on the newer vehicles, you can look on the oil fill cap, and it will tell you what's supposed to go in it.
Charlene, I would get somebody else to read my manual and to look at my oil fuel cap. But, I mean, if you want to, you can. But there's somebody who could possibly do that for you as well.
Let me tell you a little bit about that oil and what you got to think about. Oil, there's a lot of little small crevices all through that engine. And thicker the oil is, harder it is to get through the crevices and lubrication. So you want to make sure you use the right oil.
That's important. It also has an effect on your mileage.
I trust my oil man, but I'll read the manual.
That's okay. Right. Get everybody in the room together, the manual, the oil man, and you, and it'll get figured out.
It is going to be right.
I'm with you on that, Charlene.
That's right.
Thank you so much for your phone call. Joseph, I see you out there. We're going to get Joseph right after we get back from the break, but he has got a question about how to get GDI.
Okay.
We're discussing GDI and taking your repair questions. You can send an email to auto@mpbonline.org. And we've got a new car review from Casey Williams coming up in Coach's Tip of the Week. This is AutoCorrect on MPB Think Radio.
Here's a new car review from Casey Williams. It's Auto Casey on AutoCorrect.
Whether you're buying a heavy-duty truck for work or for comfort, the vehicle we have this week will be perfect. It's a 2024 F-350 King Ranch Edition. Now, the King Ranch means it's got all the luxury features on it, and it's really inspired by the South Texas Ranch. It's got saddle leather seats inside. It's got a lot of chrome on it, a lot of nice nickel trim on the inside, but also has heated seats, a heated steering wheel, the B&O audio system, heads-up display, and all the crash avoidance systems. But what you're really going to like about this truck is the engine. This has the 6.7-liter turbo diesel V8. Generates 500 horsepower, 1,200 pound-feet of torque, and you can pull up to 20,000 pounds. So this is not your average truck just to go pick up the lawnmower at the shop. This is a truck that can do some serious work. And it also, as you might imagine, comes with a pretty serious price. So the F-350 starts about $46,000 for a construction model. This one all in, $95,165.
See the full video on his YouTube channel, Auto Casey, and listen to AutoCorrect on the MPB Think Radio YouTube channel.
This is AutoCorrect. If you've missed any of our program, you can listen to the whole show from autocorrect.mpbonline.org. AutoCorrect is heard on MPB Think Radio Thursdays at 10 a.m. with a replay Saturdays at 11 a.m. and after the show today at 11 a.m. at Southern Remedy Kids and Teens. I'm Jermaine Flood. Our experts today are Coach Charlie Melton, ASC Certified Master Technician, and mechanic Pete Tyre. It's time for Coach Charlie's Tip of the Week.
We're talking about the things that we're looking for in GDI. Once again, go back to your owner's manual. Make sure that you do the maintenance. It doesn't matter if it's a GDI or if it's just any vehicle. Know your vehicle and do the maintenance.
Make sure you do that. Let's head to the phone lines. We've got Joseph in Nortville on the line. He's got a question about GDI. Joseph, you're on with Coach Charlie and Pete.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey. I have a 2001 Dodge Ram pickup, 1500, and I get about, it's got a 318 engine in it, and I only get about 8 to 9 miles a gallon. And when you mentioned GDI, my ears just started going in attention.
That is
and
one of the most.
To find out about how to get that.
The most reliable engines in the world is a 318 Chrysler. It's a very good engine. It'll last a very long time if it's maintained. But you can't add GDI on something that's not designed for it.
You have to get a new engine, regardless.
Oh, okay.
It's a complete design package concept.
Yeah, it doesn't. You can't get parts and pieces and put them on, you know, like you used to be able to get a 4-barrel carburetor, a manifold from a 2-barrel, and you could change carburetors and stuff like that. You cannot do that on GDI. It is a package, like Pete says. Now, you can change it. You can go to the Dodge dealer and get you one, and they'll have that whole thing for about $12,000, but you can get one. Mm.
Joseph,
don't
put it on there. No, I'm playing.
It's a lot more complicated than it seems. It's a tough, long-term answer to a very simple question, but it's not easy to do.
Yeah, how can I get better gas mileage than 8-9 miles to the gallon?
That truck should get better mileage than that.
When's the last time the spark plugs have been changed in that vehicle?
I don't even know, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, that's what I would do. I just try to do me a tune up on that thing and see if that thing's in good running electrical condition. And then I'd like to put some fuel conditioner in there, make sure everything's cleaned up good, and you should get better gas mileage.
Mm-hmm. It could also be something besides the engine.
That's right.
We've had worked on one years ago, and the guy said, you know, this thing, it's not performing well. Tune the engine, got everything doing as well as it could be. And I said, we have another problem. He said, this thing doesn't have another problem. I said, I think it does. So he had the rear end checked out, and they put a new rear end in it, and it picked him up about 30% because it was losing it in friction in the rear axle. A vehicle is very complicated, and you need to look at the total package. If you have one part that's out of whack, it can throw off everything.
That's right.
And there's one thing that you always got to remember. Keep it simple, stupid.
The KISS method.
Start with the easy and go to the hard.
That right. Sounded like he was addressing me.
So silly, Pete. Joseph, I hope that helped.
Yes, it does help. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Have a good day,
much.
And thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Now, we've got another question on the line, but the line is inside of the studio. Abram's got a question. What's your question, Abram?
Hi, this is Abram from Brandon. Flowing, yeah. This is a KISS question as well. I feel like this is a very simple answer, but my car is starting slower than it usually does. I opened up the hood and I think the battery's a little dirty, got some corrosion on it and stuff. Would that be the cause of it?
That could be one of the first calls of it. I'd check the battery terminal cables, take the cables off, clean them, make sure there's no corrosion on them. Then make sure the battery itself, the terminals there are cleaned. And a lot of times people just go right to the store, get a new battery and say, oh, this is going to fix it. And they put the cables back on. They have the same problem. So once again, start simple.
And clean them with?
Baking soda and water.
Baking soda and water. Perfect.
Yep. Also, take it somewhere that's got a nice battery tester, and you can test it. We do it all the time. If something, if a vehicle's in for service, we test the battery. That's the basis of everything.
Okay. Abram is satisfied with those answers. And I see this Nissan thing.
You see that Nissan thing? You want one of those, don't you?
Somebody put it up over here.
That's a Volkswagen thing.
Oh, no. This is they put the wrong thing up there.
That's a Volkswagen thing.
Oh, wait. She's trying. She's trying to help me. It's Volkswagen thing. Type in Volkswagen thing. But yeah, so I'll be able to see this soon.
You'll be able to see that thing.
Back to GDI before we get out of here. What was it about reducing turbo lag?
Well, when we talk about turbo lag, we're talking about hesitation with vehicles that have turbos on them. Okay. And a lot of times they'll hesitate and you don't get the power right off. But then this here, once again, the fuel, the way that they give the fuel into the engine will prevent that.
I want one of these Volkswagen things. I see it now. It is very much up my alley.
Is it the Neapolitan you're looking for?
Yes, it's a Jeep. It's everything.
That's what I'm saying.
It's everything you want.
That's why they called it the thing.
It is a thing, and it's thanging. It really is thanging. I love it. Coach, this was a great show today.
It was great.
Pete Tyer, every time you come on, you always just fill my heart with joy, and I thank you so much. You're the best. That'll wrap us up for today's AutoCorrect. Our show engineer was Abram Nanny. Call screener was Miriam the intern. For Coach Charlie Melton, master technician, I'm Jermaine Flood. Thanks for listening to AutoCorrect on MPB Think Radio.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.